coming back home and taking a look at the JSE's performance, the All Share, pretty flat, a touch lower. As you can see, they're just dipping into negative territory, and that with pressure being exerted by the Financial 15 space and Industrial 25. The Resources 10 component, though, pulling to the upside, it trading over 3% to the good. Joining me in studio now to take a closer look at the day's markets action, Viv Govender from Rand Swiss Offshore. Thanks so much for joining us in studio, Viv. We've got in some quarters a bounce back coming through, certainly stateside, tech stocks getting some nice support, but many putting it down to an oversold bounce and nothing more. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, I think the issues that affect the market at the moment is, quite frankly, the fact it's quite high recently, and we've come down a little bit, but we are not that much. We, of course, have those trade issues still ongoing, and we, of course, have other, you know, geopolitical issues at the moment. And locally, of course, I think, you know, the situation with the cabinet is not a great thing for us right now. But I do think that, you know, right now, uncertainty is probably higher than the market's actually reflecting mm-hmm. in terms of just where we are. I mean, I've seen numbers, for instance, with the trade war, China could cost the global economy over $500 billion a year. You know, for the next, say, 4 to 5 years because of just the impact it'll have going forward. We've already seen companies like Huawei, et cetera, affected negatively. But, I mean, I think it's going to be a bigger thing unless we have a resolution coming through.
It may well be a bigger thing, but interesting that in that context, some commentary that emerged today is that tariff fears, you know, have been exerted to such an extent that many are wondering whether or not it's been exhausted as a downside catalyst. Do you disagree?
It's more than tariffs. I mean, look at Huawei, just the example I put in there. Huawei just doesn't just have no Google updates coming through. Apparently, Microsoft took them off their store, in the Microsoft store. And even apparently because of something called the SD, you know, Jewelers Council or something, they can't use micro SD cards in their devices. So you can imagine a smartphone nowadays without a micro SD card. It's like these kind of things are more than just tariffs. I mean, because of the interconnectivity, because of technology, etc. The US has more cards to play than just their market. They have technology. They have other businesses that they can pressure. And so that could be cause of more of a disruption than you might imagine.
Yeah. With that, the Rand coming under immense pressure today. Yes, global forces at play, but local issues as well. Are you surprised at the extent to which, you know, the Rand did weaken?
Yeah, I think it was a bit overdone, and that's why you'll see later my pick is going to be long the Rand.
Let's get into it now.
Yeah, long the Rand, short the dollar. I think we've gone way beyond it. The last price I checked was about 1474. I think that's just beyond what is happening. I think maybe lighter trade later in the day as well could be affecting it. But right now, we're definitely going long Rand, short dollar. I think we're just a bit beyond where because the market really should be.
Even if the cabinet positions don't play out, you know, the way the markets would like them to.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think like was mentioned earlier, there's key positions. I mean, we don't want someone crazy in the finance ministry. But I mean, if you think about it, even the deputy president, is a position which I don't think some of the corrupt guys want to get into because they don't have as much of a department where they can spend a budget to, like, you know, support their people. Mm-hmm. So I do think that it all depends on who ends up being where. And look, I am disappointed by Cyril Ramaphosa over the last, say, year and a half or so. You know, the caution that he's had to take in terms of, like, you know, pushing the corrupt individuals out of government has been, like, I think, overdone. Maybe it is. Maybe there's more things happening behind the scene than we can see. But, I mean, he really hasn't done much to actually change the makeup of or really remove the really corrupt individuals in government. Of course, Jacob Zuma has gone, but his proxies are there just as powerful as they ever were.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. We do know that it is a very fine balancing act that needs to be walked or played at this stage of the game. But in the interim, it's impacting companies in a big way. Astral Foods today getting hit pretty hard, saying that water supply issues has dented profits by at least 85 million rand, and it's put it down to local municipalities simply just not playing ball.
Apparently they're not being able to play ball, just their capacity is just not there. Apparently they've gotten court orders saying the minimum amount must be supplied, etc. But it's not being done, and that's the kind of things that we are seeing happening in South Africa at the moment. The infrastructure, of course, we know about load shedding, which is obviously a huge problem, but even things like, for instance, PRASA, rail services. I mean, I saw a report recently that put the amount of GDP loss, you know, if you wanted to get, for instance, from where we are right now to like 5% GDP, Fixing telecommunications might give you 1%. But one of the biggest factors is transport. If you can fix the transport sector in this country, allowing people to get from the house to the work more easily, etc., you could add over 1% in terms of GDP growth to the country each year. And those are the things that we are seeing, you know, really having an effect on the economy of the country. So, of course, it's water supply. But, I mean, like I said, almost everything that has to do with the state at the moment is very, very troublesome.
Yeah, nevertheless, there are companies that are digging deeper. Sibanye Stillwater concluding its deal with Lonmin. Markets certainly liking the news because of what this spells in terms of prospects for both these companies moving forward. And just, the extent to which they'd be able to leverage off synergies. Mm. Are you as positive about what this potentially means for Sibanye moving forward?
Yeah, I think Sibanye basically saw an opportunity, Lonmin saw a lifeline.
Simple as that.
Yeah, so I mean, Lonmin at the moment is not sustainable on its own. It's done a number of capital raises in the past. It would be very difficult for you to go to the market again and ask for more money. Basically, everyone has taken a capital raise, you know, option in the past, has lost money on this company. It's been, you know, in the doldrums for quite some time. It was one of the high flyers, but of course, you know, it wasn't just Marikana. It's also the platinum price at the place it is right now. But there are assets like that smelter, etc., that's very attractive. That's what Sibanye stepped in. So I do think it's a case of if they can take advantage, if the platinum price seems to be coming slightly,
17,000.
Yeah.
At this stage.
Yeah, it's coming back slightly. So we are seeing a bit of, you know, maybe a bottom for that market. But I do think that, you know, platinum is one of those things that I would think of it almost as a very expensive oil, you know. It's very industrially based and it's very dependent on technology. And, you know, it's not the same thing as gold. People always compare platinum and gold, but they are not the same thing. One's an industrial metal, one's a store of value.
While you mention oil, yeah. I want to just take a look at that price. We know that it's fallen back. Has it bottomed out at current levels, do you think?
I think it's finding some support here at this current levels. I think there's some questions as to whether there's a lot of debate as to where the break-even price for those shale producers is. You know, it's really, they look at WTI and it's close to where it is right now for WTI. I do also think that going forward, we are going to see a lot of excess or extra, you know, uncertainty happening in the region. I think the pullback has been due to things like China, etc. But we still remain with issues around Iran, what Iran might do if they are basically pushed too hard. And so I do think there's a lot of upside possibility with the oil price at the moment. Of course, we are seeing the trade issues and so on. But I do think if we have a big blot in the Middle East, oil could really spike up from here.
Let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Viv, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Viv Govender is with Rand Swiss Offshore. So the Rand coming under immense pressure today. Yes, global forces at play, but local issues as well. Are you surprised at the extent to which, you know, the Rand did weaken?
Yeah, I think it was a bit overdone, and that's why you'll see later my pick is going to be long the Rand.
Let's get into it now.
Yeah, long the Rand, short the dollar. I think we've gone way beyond it. The last price I checked was about 1474. I think that's just beyond what is happening. I think maybe lighter trade later in the day as well could be affecting it. But right now, I'd be definitely going long Rand, short dollar. I think we're just a bit beyond where the market really should be.
Even if the cabinet positions don't play out, the way the markets would like them to.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think like was mentioned earlier, there's key positions. I mean, we don't want someone crazy in the finance ministry. But I mean, if you think about it, even the deputy president, is a position which I don't think some of the corrupt guys want to get into because they don't have as much of a department where they can spend a budget to, like, you know, support their people. Mm-hmm. So I do think that it all depends on who ends up being where. Hey, look, I am disappointed by Cyril Ramaphosa over the last, say, year and a half or so. You know, the caution that he's had to take in terms of, like, you know, pushing the corrupt individuals out of government has been, like, I think, overdone. Maybe it is. Maybe there's more things happening behind the scene than we can see. But, I mean, he really hasn't done much to actually change the makeup of already removed the really corrupt individuals in government. Of course, Jacob Zuma has gone, but his proxies are there just as powerful as they ever were.